some of you may have seen that the Holy Father recently wrote an apostolic exhortation, a document addressed to the entire church. And what was the subject that Pope Francis wrote to us about? But the universal call to holiness. That God has made each one of us to be great saints. You see, holiness isn't primarily about what you know, but it's about who you know. In these resurrection gospels, there is so much that we could pray with. Last week, we examined the message of divine mercy by reflecting on the wounds of the risen Lord. And this week, the apostles continue to instruct us of how the crucified and risen Lord remains in the midst of his church to this day. We heard at the beginning of the gospel that Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The breaking of the bread, that's what the early Christians called the Mass. That's what you and I, Sunday after Sunday, gather to celebrate. The breaking of the bread. The word Mass that we use today takes its origin, actually, from the dismissal. In Latin, ita missa est. The word Mass means mission. That once you and I have been fed on the Word of God and feasted on the body and blood of Jesus, we are sent into the world on mission to evangelize. But notice, if the gospel begins by mentioning the Eucharist and the breaking of the bread, it also concludes with Jesus himself opening the scriptures to their minds. So already, at the time of the resurrection of Christ, we have the Mass, the liturgy of the Word, of Jesus opening the scriptures to their minds and breaking the bread. Two actions that form one single act of divine worship. You see, St. John of the Cross said, God only spoke one word, and that word is Jesus Christ. As Catholics, we think of revelation differently than our Protestant brothers and sisters. Divine revelation is not primarily sacred scripture, nor is it apostolic tradition. Divine revelation is the person of the Word made flesh. Christ is the revelation of God the Father. And through the church, through tradition, and through scripture, he is handed on to us. Why does that matter? Because what it reveals to us is that God wants a relationship with us, a covenant relationship. Again, holiness ain't about what you know. It's about who you know. So God doesn't need you to fill your minds with stuff. As if to be a great saint, you had to be a theologian or a scripture scholar. Those things help, but they don't make saints. In fact, St. Paul wrote to the Christians in Corinth and said, knowledge puffs up. It leads to pride if it's left unchecked. Love, he says, on the other hand, builds up. When you stand before Jesus Christ after your death in your particular judgment, you won't be quizzed about what you knew. You will be quizzed and tested on how well you loved. And we begin to learn to love by receiving the love of Christ. By letting God love us. That being said, study is absolutely essential in our Christian life of discipleship. Essential. Saint Jose Maria Escrivá said that for the modern apostle, that an hour of study is an hour of prayer. We need, brothers and sisters, to know our scriptures. We ought to be studying the catechism of the Catholic Church, but not in the way that we prepare for the SATs or that we check off our to-do lists. We shouldn't race through the scriptures to say, I've done that. I did my 4 years of Catholic Biblical School. I'm good. Do the Catholic Biblical School because it's fantastic. But it's only the beginning. It's only the beginning. The Catechism of the Catholic Church starts off by talking about the relationship between knowledge and love, and how vital it is. And I think this points to why we need to study our faith, to have a relationship with God, to grow in holiness. Because it says that first, you and I were made to know, love, and serve God in this life, and to be happy with Him in the next. And as in any relationship, you will not love that which you do not know. Think of a young couple as they're getting to know each other, as they spend and waste countless hours together, getting to know one another, fascinated about each other's personality. And as they get to know the other, they fall more in love. And the more that you fall in love, the more you want to know about your beloved. That's what study does for us as Catholic disciples. The more that we know about God, about what He's done for us, the more that we will experience His love for us and love Him. And the more that we love Him, the more that we'll want to know and discover the riches of His love. But remember, holiness isn't primarily about what you know. It's about who you know. And Jesus tells us at the end of the Gospel that everything in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms point to Him. Every word in Scripture, every single word, passage in Scripture, old and new, points to Christ. That's what makes studying and praying with Scripture so exciting, because it's searching out the beloved in prayer, in study. St. Augustine wrote that the New Testament lies hidden in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is unveiled in the New Testament. Now, we could go through hours and hours of examples of this, but I won't bore you with that. I'll leave that for your own prayerful study. But to give you a few examples, right here on our baptistry. If you've ever walked up to the font, you'll notice symbols that are engraved around it. You have the symbol of Noah's Ark, the symbol of the sea that was divided in two that the Israelites walked through. You have the hand of John the Baptist, and you have the heart of Christ that was pierced at the cross. All of those symbols for water, in different mysteries in Scripture of how God used water to save His people, all of which point to what Christ does in baptism and through His cross and resurrection. So let's just look at two examples there. The flood of Noah. You can look at it as a nice story and say, that's great, but what does it mean for us today? Well, it means a lot to us today, because the story of Noah takes on a Christological meaning, that Christ Himself has put us on the boat of the church amidst the flood of the world, that Christ, through baptism, destroys wickedness in our souls, sin, and brings about a new beginning of goodness and of grace. You see, that story takes on its fullest meaning in what Christ has done for us. How about the parting of the Red Sea? What a mighty work to have seen God splitting a sea in two so that the people of Israel could walk through it. God does that for us through holy baptism, when He clears a way for us to be delivered from Satan and from the power of sin by His death on the cross. He is the true exodus that leads to true freedom and life in the real promised land of heaven. You see, Jesus tells us that everything in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms speak of Him. That's why we study Scripture, brothers and sisters, to grow in that knowledge and in that love for God. Holiness is not about what you know, but what you know will help you know who you know. Pope Francis ended his apostolic exhortation, which I encourage all of you to look up and read, by saying, "The only true failure in life is not to become a saint."